Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's the third day of September. So happy that you chose to make us part of your morning today. You can always pick up the podcast there, the app, the Odyssey app, or you can go to our website, 971talk.com, and we hope you take advantage of that. We podcast every segment of the show, so you never have to miss a minute, and then you can listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. Coming up a little later, we're going to talk to our friend, Senator Adam Schnelting, about the whole IP reform situation. The special session starts today down in Jeff City. The House convenes today. They may give the Senate something to vote on by next Monday. I understand. I think the Senate doesn't get in until Monday, but we will get Senator Schnelting on here this morning in the 8 o'clock hour to talk just a little bit more about that. Dan, we've talked a lot about Dan Buck in here with me this morning. We've talked a lot about tariffs and the president's had another court yesterday trying to claim that what he's done with tariffs is illegal. And, you know, to Trump's point, well, it worked. You may argue that the question is whether or not he overstepped what the law would allow under that emergency act from the 1800s or whatever. But the bottom line is you've got countries that are like, well, I guess we took advantage of them long enough. We're finally going to agree to a trade deal that's fair. And that's all he was trying to do was what was in the best interest of the American people. And you've got these left-leaning judges intent on stopping him.
And I don't think the American people fully understand that if this stands, and it's going to go to the Supreme Court. There's not an if, and, or but about it. It's going to the Supreme Court. In fact, the judge even said, hey, they can stay in place for now because he knew there was going to be a higher authority going to be weighing in on this. But I don't think the American people understand the magnitude if these were to be rolled back. We would have to pay back, because they would have been deemed unlawful, billions of dollars to the countries of which we have been putting these tariffs on, which that's where you have to understand how far out of bounds these judges are. The implications and the impact of these decisions could cost the American taxpayers and the United States of America billions of dollars.
I don't think
they get it.
The evil people pushing this? Who are the evil people who hate America so bad they're going to court to try to reverse the president's ability to do this? Is it Chamber of Commerce? I mean, I don't think so.
No,
although they don't always work in the best interest of the United States.
No, but I think some of the corporate America is pushing this because they're seeing the tariff on the products they buy from China, the products they buy from Korea, all going up, the costs going up. So they're the ones who are trying to block him, trying to level the playing field. And it's worked. I mean, just the threat of these tariffs have brought countries to the table to get better trade deals so that we're not getting hammered overseas. We've seen tons of our tariffs overseas get cut. Which U.S. manufacturers love, because now their global markets open up without a huge tariff cost.
And Trump says, guess what? Come to America and build your product, and you won't face these tariffs. And guess, we have our first evidence of that this morning. And it's a tasty one. Did you know that?
No.
I bet you didn't hear this. Listen to this great report out of Canada.
The producer that makes Crown Royal whiskey products is shutting down its Ontario plant to move some operations to the United States. The company called Diageo said Thursday it's looking to improve its North American supply chain.
I'll bet.
As a result, it's closing its bottling facility in Amherstburg, Ontario in February. About 200 jobs will be affected. The company says that while it's a difficult decision, it needs to boost its supply chain efficiency.
Yeah, I'll bet it needs to avoid that tariff and keep selling Crown Royal to its biggest market in the world is what it needs to do.
Yeah. Boy, my father-in-law was a huge fan of Crown Royal.
Oh, I got a buddy who's a huge fan.
We found those Crown Royal bags all over his house after he passed away, filled with coins and nails and washers. I mean, he kept them and used them for everything.
Yeah, the little purple,
yeah, the purple bags.
The purple bags. Yeah, and that's going to keep happening. That's one example, but that's going to keep happening. If we can keep these tariffs in place, you're going to see these manufacturers from overseas saying, hey, we need to set up shop in our biggest market.
Yep.
And avoid these tariffs because, I mean, you're talking, if it's 100%, 150% tariff on some of these products, that's huge. They can't price compete in the United States with that kind of tariff. So bring your jobs, bring your bottling plants, and do it here.
Wait till that jerk in Canada tries to defend this one, right? Oh, I'm sorry, we're losing 200 more jobs, but I'm going to hold firm. Yeah, you just keep doing that, you idiot. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Ryan Schmelz in D.C. on the possibility of a government shutdown. It almost makes me want to yawn when I say that because they threaten it so much. But apparently the Democrats won't collapse like a cheap hand like Schumer did last time around. So there could be some trouble brewing here. We'll check in with Ryan in a few minutes. Right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
When I came back in the office, I was shocked to learn that this weekend, the biggest story was frenzied social media rumors speculating whether Donald Trump had died. For the record, Donald Trump is very much alive. Okay. And no.
So, yeah. So that is Stephen Colbert, his audience cheering rumors the president had died and booing when he confirmed that he hadn't. Jeez. Liberalism is a mental disorder.
There is a video that is circulating online now of the White House where a window is open to the residents upstairs, and somebody is throwing a big bag out the window. Have you seen this?
No, that's probably AI.
Hmm. Why did the president need to school Ducey on that, right? Obviously, nobody was throwing bags out of the window of the White House. The president said those windows are all sealed. They weigh about 600 pounds. You couldn't lift one if you wanted to. It's bulletproof glass. It's AI. It's AI. That just seems so obvious to everyone.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you who is a complete piece of I'm going to tell you right now.
There have been a lot of swear words at
this
table today.
Tim Walz, okay. the governor of Minnesota, holding up a phone in front of a rally saying, well, we thought we were going to wake up and find out the president had died. Someday it'll happen. I used to say he was the biggest buffoon in American politics, but it's worse now.
Yeah, you go Scott Jennings speaking a little truth bomb over there on CNN last night about this Minnesota governor. I mean, like, again, as referred to my earlier comment there at the top of the hour, Stephen Colbert's audience was cheering the rumor that Donald Trump might be dead. This is sick.
And it's an insult to any and every citizen to suggest that any governor should have to beg the president of any political party for resources owed their people.
You know, I've thought about this a lot, and irregardless of how dense J.B. Pritzker is, there are a lot of Republican governors in the country who have a unique opportunity here to go in and clean up some blue cities. And I have to wonder why we haven't heard more about that. And I would never expect J.B. Pritzker, who wants to run for president and who has to appeal to the hardest left of the left in order to do that, to ever cooperate with Donald Trump. But we live in a factory. I'm broadcasting to you from a dark, deep blue city in St. Louis, where liberal progressives have run this place for 75 years, and you can look all around you and see the results, right? Crime, always listed among the most dangerous places in the nation. Seems like the president has given Governor Kehoe a little bit of a beautiful blueprint here if he wanted to call up some National Guard troops and stick them on Washington Avenue on a Friday and Saturday night, and maybe throughout North City. Other than that, to see if we can and have some of the same effects here that we've had elsewhere. I don't know, Dan. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't I don't know. It might be a possibility. Kim Kowalski, one of our great followers on our Facebook page, thinks this whole thing with the rescinding of the police board is going to make is going to possibly be giving him control personally, where he doesn't have to go through a board, in case Trump wants to come to St. Louis and show Chicago how to do it.
Interesting.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I hadn't considered that. I mean, Kim, that's some good thinking.
If
the board wasn't there, now if he picked them anyway, but still, they may not all agree with him.
Exactly.
Because that would include the mayor of St. Louis was on the board.
No,
she has a place on the board, and then he gets to pick the other five people.
But it is a state-controlled police department at this point.
Correct.
So I'm just thinking that would pave the way for him to be able to say, we're bringing in the National Guard to St. Louis to clean things up. We're going to cooperate here and let Chicago see the crime rates drop, watch the city get cleaned up, watch an amazing show of force and how it works.
Should be an interesting. We'll see what develops there.
A theory. That was only a theory thrown out there. We're not saying that's his plan.
I think it's a good idea. It would be a good idea. It seems workable to me
plausible.
It does seem plausible for sure. All right. Quick break here. We'll check in with Ryan Schmelz from DC coming up.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Good afternoon, everyone. We just spent more than 2 hours with six of the Epstein victims, some of the bravest women I've ever met. They're very courageous. They shared their stories. Some of the ladies have shared these stories publicly before, but at least two of the women had never told their stories before, one for the very first time in the room. And so there were tears in the room. There was outrage. It was both, I would describe it as heartbreaking and infuriating, that justice has been delayed so long.
Yeah, that was Mike Johnson, the House Speaker there, in case you didn't recognize his voice by now. They did have a meeting with some of the Epstein victims yesterday, and more documents are being released. It cracks me up to watch the left try to somehow portray this as the Trump administration or Congress dragging their feet. They're the ones that issued the subpoena. They're now getting over 33,000 documents in that as they go through them, are going to be released to the public. I mean, Jamie Comer got the documents.
Right.
What is it they think they're trying to hide here?
Well, and let's start with, you had 4 years to have your DOJ
do it, and yeah, that never happened.
Did nothing.
So you got that going on in the background of this whole budget mix-up, and we got Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio with us this morning with more on that. Good morning to you, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. We were just talking about the testimony yesterday by the Epstein victims and how that's maybe playing in the background of what's now going to be a budget battle for the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know so much if that's going to be playing in the background. It might be in the forefront.
It could be.
It's so unpredictable with this budget. I mean, with this this news cycle, you know, there's so many stories that are going on. But, you know, at least in the meantime, I think that those are probably the two big ones on Capitol Hill, is the Epstein files and also, and how they're going to fund the government.
Yeah, so before we get off the issue of the Epstein files, the files, over 33,000 of them have now been turned over to James Comer and the Oversight Committee. When or if those will be made public? Do you know when?
I do not know a timeline. I think that they also, just like the Department of Justice, have to go through this information and make sure they're not releasing anything that has maybe victims' names on it, has sensitive information. So it might take a little bit, and we'll see. I mean, they might be able to do this in tranches and say, okay, this round is clean. Let's put this up. And all that. So, you know, this is going to be something that some people are not going to be satisfied with. Other people will. You know, there's a discharge petition right now going around that if it got 218 signatures, it would compel a vote on the forcing of the Epstein files to be released. Now, we don't know if that bill is going to pass or not. You know, there's going to be a renewed push for it. But there are some Republicans who came out yesterday and said that they don't need to sign it anymore because of this recent document drop.
All the drama building toward a vote on a CR. You know, you've got a number of Republicans who don't want to vote on that because, correct me if I'm wrong, but the continuing resolution they would be voting on is not, it's not a Donald Trump or Republican budget. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, for the most part, it's not. You know, this was a budget that was negotiated by Speaker Johnson when he had a very slim House majority, and he was pretty much having to negotiate with the Biden White House and Leader Schumer, who was in charge of the Senate at the time. And, you know, there were a lot of conservatives who didn't like the final product, but, you know, Speaker Johnson was in a very tough situation. And, you know, they pretty much continued this funding last December. Then they extended it in March all the way until now.
Right.
And so, yes, this in many ways would be a continuation of a budget that was signed into law by President Biden. Now, keep in mind, though, there have been some amendments to it when it comes to military and whatnot. So there are some conservative priorities that were added later on. But at the same time, I think that the argument is that this is still very much not exactly President Trump's funding priorities. There's also the argument to be made that funding the government this way, where you are just continuing a previous budget, you know, is not exactly a DOGE-friendly way of doing things because you're funding programs that in some cases don't exist anymore, are outdated, and that kind of pushes back on maybe some of the DOGE efforts that are going on right now.
And you get so tired of the threat, right? Every cycle we hear, the government's going to shut down, the government's going to shut down. Do you think there's really any chance of us getting to that stage again? And if so, you know, are the Republicans willing to let it go a while?
Yeah, I mean, look, Speaker Johnson has avoided this several times since he's been Speaker. You know, we've come very close, but he's found his way out of it. And, you know, I could see a scenario where it happens again, but there are some different factors you got to watch for. Number one, you know, what's the conservative wing of his party going to do? What's the moderate wing going to do? And also, you know, are Democrats going to be willing to play ball? Because Leader Schumer is under a lot of pressure right now with how he handles this situation. And so he could be in a tough position to negotiate or might not even be willing to negotiate. That's kind of what we're waiting to see.
Right. Well, Schumer just needs to consult with, who was it, Allison Burney out in Massapequa? Is that it? The made-up family?
I don't know. I haven't heard about that.
That's funny. Listen, Ryan, so here's the deal. When President Trump gets Governor Kehoe to agree to send National Guard troops to St. Louis, you need to arrange with Fox to send you out here.
Come on down.
Yeah, come back and pay us a visit, and we'll have you in studio.
Exactly. Oh, that'd be awesome.
We know some officers.
Cardinals game.
Yeah, you check out the Cardinals while you'll be back home, right?
And we know some police officers you can do a ride along with during the surge. So
there we go.
Yeah.
All right. Great. I think we got a plan.
That'll be perfect. All right. We appreciate you, Ryan. Thank you.
Have a good one, Mark. Thank you.
Take care. Ryan Schmelz there in Washington, D.C. this morning. I would have pushed him a little more on that. I maybe he didn't know what I was talking about, but Chuck Schumer's made-up friends, I thought that was a pretty big story.
I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that?
No.
We'll talk about that more when we come back. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got you a check of business coming up.
And make-believe friends.
Yep.
I actually want to talk less about Chuck Schumer himself and more about two of his favorite people, Joe and Eileen Bailey. They're a couple that, throughout Schumer's career, he has talked about a lot. The Baileys have guided Chuck Schumer's political life, which is a little weird given they don't exist. Seriously, he invented them. Schumer's given the Baileys an unnecessarily detailed backstory. For instance, he said, Joe takes off his cap and sings along with the national anthem before the occasional Islanders game. Okay. And when their daughter Megan, oh yeah, they've got kids by the way, told Eileen a friend was caught cheating on a quiz, Eileen was appalled because lying is not tolerated in the house ever.
What?
Completely made up. The Schumer people won't comment on it. He's lied about this family. They went back into the the 90s, and they can find him making up stories about this Bailey family that lived in Massapequa. And, of course, Brian Kilmeade is from Massapequa. It's not a huge area. Nobody there knows anybody named the Baileys, right? They don't exist. They're not real people. He made them up to fit whatever narrative he wanted to sell to the public, and he's been lying about them for years. And nobody seems to mind in Washington. Why would you ever take this guy seriously again? He's clearly mentally ill.
Well, it's a very simple question for the press. Can we please meet Mr. Bailey or yeah. Mrs. Bailey or the kids of the Baileys? I mean, he just makes up a story about this fictitious family
yeah.
to fit the narrative of whatever he's describing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That pretty much spells
Biden,
it out.
And Biden did it all the way through his presidency, right? I mean, all of the
sure.
stories of him being the big bad guy and the gangbanger name. What was his name? What was that name he came up with?
Oh,
am I drawing a blank?
Like Soda Pop?
Corn Pop. Yeah. Oh, Corn Pop, you know, the gang member that nobody has ever heard of.
Yeah.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
That guy? Is that who you're talking about?
Corn Pop. That guy. He was a bad dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's ever met Corn Pop, nor can we ever track Corn Pop down, but he was a bad dude.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm surprised that that Ryan Schmelz didn't know anything about that.
Is it because they don't really know any real people and they have to make them up because they're so disconnected from mainstream Americans?
Well,
and,
isn't
and
it
people?
Pretty obvious that the guys, when there's a picture of him putting cheese on a raw hamburger patty on a grill, that you know there's something wrong here, right? The guy's never done this before in his life, but he thought it would be a good photo for the press. Oh, yeah. My gosh. It's just completely.
They never cease to amaze us.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Let's get to our friend Nicole Murray, please. Nicole, how are you?
Good morning. I'm a little tired, but I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing
fine. Oh, don't
fine.
Give me that. Come on, you wimp. I was up playing ball till 11 o'clock last night.
Can you believe this guy?
I'm working on 4 hour sleep, so I'm a little cranky, Nicole.
Yeah, you might want to watch yourself, sir.
That's pretty funny.
That yes. is pretty funny. Yeah, this guy. How'd you do, Dan? Were you like 6-for-6?
No,
what'd you do
no,
last
no,
night?
No, I didn't. I played terrible. I was 1-for-4,
but we
won 19-0. We had a no-hitter going to the last inning, so a combined 3-pitcher no-hitter.
That's pretty good.
They got a hit. They got a hit in the last inning, so we didn't get the no-no, but we won handily.
How about that? What'd you do last night, Nicole?
Slept.
But I'm tired this morning.
I don't know why I'm so tired. It's really weird. Like, I went to bed at a decent time.
It's Wednesday. Sometimes this schedule just gets you down a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, extra coffee required.
Absolutely. So what's going on in the business world?
All right. Futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials down 249, the NASDAQ down 175, the S&P 500 down 44. Burger 809 will close its doors downtown in December. Known for its sliders, salads, and comfort food, Burger 809 has been operating for over a year at the cafe in the City Garden Sculpture Park. The restaurant announced the closure in a press release yesterday. McDonald's is cutting prices on some combo meals to woo back customers, and experts say this could start a price drop war among its fast food rivals. Starting September 8th, McDonald's will offer extra value meals. Prices will vary by location, but McDonald's said extra value meals will cost 15% less than ordering each of those items separately. President Trump said he will ask the Supreme Court for an expedited ruling to overturn an appeals court decision that found most of his tariffs on imports from other countries are illegal. The appeals court delayed its ruling from taking effect until October 14th to allow the Trump administration time to ask the Supreme Court to take the case and overturn the decision. Starbucks said that starting September 29th, it will add protein cold foams and protein lattes to its menu. The cold foam, which customers can order to top coffee, tea, or Starbucks refreshers, adds about 15 grams of protein to a grande drink. The lattes will contain up to 36 grams of protein. Frontier Airlines is offering its annual Go Wild Unlimited Travel Pass for $2.99, but only through Friday before the price doubles to $5.99. It allows passengers to book unlimited flights for one penny plus taxes and fees. The 2026 to 2027 Go Wild Pass is valid for 20 months and can be used immediately after purchase. And finally, a new poll says roughly 70% of Americans are making big life decisions based on vibes, not logic. These vibes can include social media posts or even cosmic signs from the universe.
Oh, my God. Hopefully they don't work in the stock market arena.
Yeah. What's your vibe today?
My vibe is tired, and I'm doing the best I can, and the vibe checks are not it. up this early.
On a more serious note, we were talking earlier about these tariffs and the fact that this judge blocked them, saying they're not legal. Could that have a significant impact on the market? Should these get rolled back if a Supreme Court ruling doesn't go well and they have to give back all this money and stop collecting tariffs in the United States, or presidential tariffs anyway, that have been put in place?
I would predict that there will be some type of sell-off, because I think people are going to see that and panic. Even if there is no immediate aftermath effect of it all, I think people react very quickly when it comes to the stock market.
Do you think yesterday's fall was a little bit due to that? I mean, it wasn't a big one, but enough speculation about that ruling?
Yeah, it was just enough to like make things move. Just enough. So we'll see.
All right.
But calm down, I promise. Okay.
Nicole, get some sleep. We'll talk to you Friday.
Right now? Can I go nap
right
now?
Go. You got my permission. You just leave.
Thank you.
I'm jealous.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. All right. So the Dow futures are down 249 right now.
249?
Down 249 before the open.
Isn't NASDAQ futures up, though?
We'll see.
On the tech stocks.
I don't know. I have to go back and look at that one. I picked that one. But
just another day in the market, baby.
No kidding. Just got to quit looking at it every day.
You do.
What you need
just
to
not,
do.
Not, don't sweat it. Right.
And hope that the Supreme Court makes the right decision there and actually cares about the United States instead of that nonsense. I noticed something yesterday when I was driving back from our camping trip. I noticed it going both directions.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Cracker Barrel again.
Okay. Right?
So I didn't realize how far down the road they were with some of these changes, but the billboard that you see on Highway 6440 coming east just before you get to K, and the billboard you see going west just before you get to K, both have the new Cracker Barrel logo on them.
Really?
So they had already expended a bunch of money for marketing, and God knows how much money they wasted, and now they're going to have to go back and change all of those billboards.
You think they will, or they'll just let them term out, and then maybe the next series they'll...
I think I would want that to be out of the public's mind.
Yes and no. I mean, they got so much mileage out of that. I mean, from a publicity standpoint, I think it was, I mean, certainly not by design. I think the CEO there is not that smart. But just look at the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah,
of
but
free.
They lost hundreds of millions.
Well,
they lost
their stock. But again, it's bouncing back. That's going to bounce back. But it just put them so in the public eye. And people talking about them, no one was talking about Cracker Barrel a month ago.
Well, that's true.
You know? So.
Got you thinking about some pancakes. Did you go eat there? You told me the other day.
I did.
Did you really?
I did. Drove all the way out there. Had a great breakfast. You know what, though? Their biscuits aren't fresh. I could tell. I think their biscuits came out of
a can or something?
No. You know how you buy, they come like you buy them in a store.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They were nowhere. No way were these biscuits baked same day.
Wow.
There was no question in my mind. It was like, that's not the same. Because I got biscuits and gravy. And it was like, no, this is not the biscuits I remember. And somebody else, if there's anybody out there who knows whether I'm accurate on that, whether they still bake their biscuits fresh, I don't think so. I'm just telling you by the taste of them, it just tasted like a three-day-old biscuit.
I'll ask my buddy who works there.
Okay.
He'll tell me. Because he often finds himself working on food prep when he can't get enough people to show up that day. So my guess is that he'll know the answer to that question.
I will say I had the sweetest lady wait on me. Super sweet. And watched her work. I love watching servers, good servers work.
Yes.
And just see how even not even her tail. She was filling up coffee anywhere and everywhere, smiling, talking to everybody. I could tell she had her regulars because there was four or five tables who were giving her some grief, and she was playing along great with it. So, I mean, I just love that that country store feel that's still in there.
Well, let's hope that they're bringing it back, baby. They haven't changed the one out in St. Charles County yet, have they?
No,
it's all still the same.
Still had the big fireplace, everything. All right, the store out front. Yep.
All right. Quick break. We'll be back with another news here in a few minutes. Next hour, our friend Genevieve Wood will be in, and we'll talk to Jimmy Failla from Fox News. Stay tuned.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, I would just like to start this segment with a statement.
Okay.
I love my wife.
Oh, my gosh. What are you trying to...
But I'm just saying...
You're about to do something bad.
I'm telling you.
I'm just saying I love my wife.
Uh-huh.
But quite frankly, I don't know what I would do with more than one wife.
Oh.
Which brings me to Harry Irvin Burdick Jr., who was arrested August 22nd in North Carolina, accused of marrying three different women at the same time for personal and financial gain. I have enough trouble keeping up with one. What the hell was he doing with three of them? And this guy's got to be 75 years old. I'm just looking at him here.
Think of all the incredible help you'd have, though, while driving.
Well, there's that.
I mean, you'd have three backseat drivers in the car.
I'm just going to let this all flow.
Deputies say Burdick had three marriage licenses with three different women, no record of divorces. All three of the marriages took place in North Carolina in three different counties. And he was released on his own recognizance, but the sheriff's department believes there could be other victims.
Wait, was he like keeping the secret from three different women?
Apparently, yeah. He was like living
three different lives.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't keep up with one. No. I don't know what you'd do with three of them. I'm just saying.
That drives
me nuts. Throwing that out there.
Hey, did you hear about this 13-year-old boy down in St. Francis County? He fell 240 feet. And was alone in the woods for 3 days before rescuers could find him. 240 feet. He fell almost a full football field down a cliff. And
wow.
Survived. They put him in an induced coma. He came out of it last week. Channel 5 did a great story on him. And this guy, talk about defying the odds. Falling down a 240-foot cliff into a ravine. Knocked out and hurt for 3 days before they found him. That's a miracle upon miracle. That dude's counting his blessings.
No kidding.
Yeah. He was out running
and
around.
He was able to walk away from it.
Yesterday he was throwing a football with his family in his yard a week later. Yeah. After coming out of the coma.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Congratulations. Right. His name is Cody Trinkle.
Way to go, Cody.
He should go buy a lottery ticket today.
Seriously.
He should. Yeah.
A tow truck driver in L.A. is now facing federal charges for what I guess he thought was a funny prank. He towed away an ICE vehicle while they were conducting a raid.
Oh boy.
So they pulled up outside and went inside to conduct a raid, and he hooked up his tow truck to the vehicle and towed it away.
Oh, he's going to spend some time in jail.
Bobby Nunez was allegedly laughing and filming as he towed the vehicle belonging to ICE agents. He's not laughing now. The agents were in the middle of an operation to arrest an illegal alien and had their emergency lights flashing as they boxed in the target's vehicle with their own to prevent her escape.
Wow.
Isn't that's dumb.
He's in jail.
Yeah.
Jail. Mm-hmm. Who had the last laugh there?
Way to go, Bobby.
Oh, my goodness.
That was really dumb. Delta Airlines is apparently stopping all major flights in a couple of months to Midland, Texas. They're going to phase out all of their flights. I don't know how many people fly to Midland, Texas these days. But this is another indication of these airlines making cutbacks to try to balance their bottom line, which is why they
charge you $50 for a bag these days.
Wow.
Mm. Good luck in the Midland.
Gonna hit you.
Yeah, Midland. Right. And,
well, we just announced a bunch of cuts from St. Louis the other day. Wow. All right. Coming up, we'll get to our friend Genevieve Wood. Jimmy Failla, a Fox News host, coming to town in January. We're going to talk to him coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.